The Bible said in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, I'm going to let you remain seated because the reading's lengthy this morning. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. I'll make a few comments as we go along. Elijah had been up on Mount Carmel. He had challenged the prophets of Baal. He said, let's just pray. Let's put out a sacrifice here. And whichever God answers by fire, that's the real God. That's the God of heaven. And prophets of Baal, they prayed and they cut on themselves and went through a big, long yarn and nothing happened. Elijah told him to get some barrels of water, pour it on the sacrifice. In other words, he was saying, when God gets done here, I don't want there to be any doubt in your mind. They poured water all over the sacrifice, and there was a trench all the way around it, and it was full of water. And Elijah prayed, and the fire come down. The prophets of Baal were defeated. One in God makes a majority. They thought there's a whole lot more of them than there was of Elijah. But they forgot about Elijah's God. I'm just going to say this. Beto O'Rourke said last week that he believes unless a church agrees to do same-sex marriage, they ought to lose their tax-exempt status. He's probably not the only one that believes that. But he said it. It come out of his mouth. Beto O'Rourke, like many others, they think they can handle the church. And maybe they can. But they can't handle the church's God. He'll take care of it. Say amen. In his own way, in his own time. Say, preacher, I wish you hadn't mentioned that. Somebody needs to mention it. Our country's going to hell in a handbasket if God's people don't stand up and be counted. Elijah stood up. The Bible said here, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. Said, I got a message for you, big boy. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Elijah, you've got 24 hours and you're history. You're toast. This wicked woman. You say, preacher, how wicked was she? I tell you what, she was so wicked that you can't even hear about somebody naming their dog Jezebel. Say amen. Wicked. When he saw that, he arose and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head, at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came into a cave and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. It takes quite a wind to tear the mountains. Rent, that means split them. Split them apart. The Bible said that Behold, the Lord passed by. There was a great strong wind that rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, read it with me. You know what's needed in our generation more than anything in this world? Is that God's people would learn to be still and hear the still, small voice of God. It's no wonder the devil wants us to be occupied with the television, most of the time hellavision. No wonder he wants us to be occupied with Facebook and Twitter and text messages and emails and phone calls. Because he knows, Brother Gary, if we was to get good and still, God would speak to our heart. And so he's doing everything he can to keep us from that still, small voice of God. When you think about what's went on here, Elijah has run out of strength. And sometimes we wonder in our own lives why we come to those crossroads that we come to and why that maybe we find ourselves in the predicament or the situation that we're in. Did you ever stop and think that when we run out of strength, that's a good place for his strength to kick in? That his strength is not made perfect in our strength. His strength, Brother Grizzle, is made perfect in our weakness. Elijah's learning that here. I'm talking about this is not just some wimp of a man. He's a man's man. Amen. Think about what he's already done, what he's already accomplished. And yet he's come kind of to the end of the road. God, I believe I'd be better off if you'd just take me on out of here. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He's despondent. He's thinking the children of Israel should have turned to God when they saw that great manifestation of the power of God on Mount Carmel. Surely that would turn him. And yet it did not. To the point where he believes that I'm the only one left. Now we're going to see later in the message that that's not true. He's not the only one left. But I'm going to say this. The ranks are thinning out. The ranks that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, inerrant, inspired, infallible, preserved, the Greek and the Hebrew preserved in the English language for God's people. I don't even call it a King James Version. I believe when you call it a version, you throw it in with the rest of the mess. It's the Word of God. The ranks that believe marriage is between a man and a woman. The ranks that believe a baby is a life. Elijah was in the minority, but Elijah was able to hear the still small voice of God. Please pray with me, and I want to bring a message this morning on the importance of hearing God's still small voice. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God, and thank you for our people. Lord, before you ever spoke the world into existence, you knew who would be gathered in this room today. It's our prayer, our Father, that something would be said that would be an encouragement, our Father, to your people, an encouragement to that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that does not know Christ as their Savior. if they could only hear the voice of God this morning as he says, I love you. If they could hear that voice that came down from Calvary that said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Lord, if they could just hear your voice, say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Lord, men and women are looking for rest everywhere in the world, but the only real peace, the only real rest is to be found in Christ our Lord. I pray, Lord, today that you'd take the message, use it for your glory. Clothe us in our calling. Help us to say everything that needs to be said. And leave off anything, our Father, that would be displeasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Some of you weren't praying, so I'll get you on praying ground right now. I've got 10 things I want to share with you this morning. You went to praying just then, didn't you? Amen. Can I tell y'all something? I love you. I still think they ought to have a church appreciation day. The pastor that don't appreciate his church ain't worth his salt. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your presence in the house of God. I was thinking, sitting there on the front bench a while ago, you're going to see Sister Shelby. She's got her, I think it's her right arm, and she's got some kind of apparatus on it. And Sister Becky's got some kind of apparatus on her elbow. I think they were caught over here downtown somewhere last week arm wrestling. And for $20, I'll tell you who won after the service. Amen. Actually, the only thing that broke it up is Miss Eve come along and kicked both of them and told them to quit. Y'all get that after a while. Amen. Good to be saved, ain't it? Let's look at the scripture together. Let me give you some things God spoke to my heart about as I studied Friday evening, asking God about the service today. The importance of the still small voice. The first thing I want to bring to your attention that it was after a great victory. Sometimes, beloved, we kind of feel invincible after God uses us, and we feel like, man, this is wonderful. We see God answer prayer. We see God work in a mighty way in our midst. And this would go for the church or for individuals. And if we're not careful, and I said we, not you, if we're not careful, we'll begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And we'll forget that any victory that comes in our life is through Him. It's not through us. Amen. It's not by might and not by power. Remember, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so this comes, this whole chapter 19 comes after a great victory in chapter number 18. I believe if ever there was a time in our life as God's people, both individually and corporately, we need to be on guard. It's after that great victory that God gives us in our life. Amen. The second thing I want to remind you of, and the importance of hearing God's still small voice, is that the enemy is after you. Amen. Jezebel didn't give up just because there had been a great victory. Let me just say this to you. Until our Lord comes, Brother Ralph, the choir sang the song, I'm Redeemed. And that's true. There's a part of me, my soul and my spirit, is as redeemed as it ever will be. But my flesh has not been redeemed yet. It's awaiting redemption. Jesus is going to come, and I'm going to have a body like unto His body. And until then, the enemy's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Brother John said this morning, it's not so much sometimes that He comes physically, but He will. He'll get you so tired. He'll get you to hurting so bad you can't even think of the name Jesus, let alone say it. But He'll come in our minds. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places, the Word of God said. And so the enemy's going to come. You say, preacher, why are you magnifying the still small voice? Because you and I are no match for the enemy. When we don't know what to do, we need to listen to the one who does know what to do. Listen to the one who can give us clear direction. Listen to the one who knows the way. The psalmist said, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows the way. He knew the way for Elijah. He knows the way for you. He knows the way for me. In verse number 4, he went a day's journey, sat down under a juniper tree, requested that he might die. He said, it's enough. Have you ever felt like that? It's enough. I'm being honest with you. I've never felt that way about my own life. But I've been with people down through the years that I've had the privilege to pastor. And Brother Sam, I've said in my heart, oh God, how much more can they take? How much more can one individual, how much more can one family take? I believe if we would have been watching Job, we would have said that of Job. Lord, how much more can he take? Can I tell you, the Lord knoweth the way I take, and the Lord knoweth what I can take. Say amen. He's feeling alone. He's feeling hopeless. The next thing the Lord spoke to my heart about in the message and the importance of hearing God's still small voice is he was exhausted. Look at verse number 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. I want to ask you a question, beloved. How many of you have been in this thing long enough to realize that one of the most dangerous times in your life as a Christian is when you're wore slap out? How many of us have let things come out of our mouth? Help me. When we were wore out, exhausted, said something that we would have never said, thought something we would have never thought, did something we would have never done. We're just exhausted. We need to be on guard, and we need to hear that still small voice of God. You say, preacher, how bad was it for Elijah? Look in verse number 6. He looked and there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink. What's the Bible say? And laid him down again. He laid down and went right back to sleep. This man of God, this man that not only had God in him, but had God on him, was exhausted. I want to say this, beloved. Listen to me carefully, and I believe this is important. I believe God wants us to live a life of balance. I don't believe God wants a pastor or a Christian to run 24 hours a day. God even rested on the seventh day, and God knows the importance of rest for every one of us. And God did not criticize Elijah. He helped him to rest some more so that he could get up, so that he could be alert, so that he could hear the still, small voice of God. If you look at verse number 7, the Bible said the angel of the Lord came unto him the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Because the journey is, somebody read those last words. Brother Ike, it's too big. The journey's too much for you. It's too much for me. But oh, happy day when we realize that we're on this journey and we're not by ourselves and it's not too much for him. It's too great for thee. But with God's help. Say, preacher, How did the Apostle Paul say it? That one that had been beaten, that one that had been shipwrecked, that one that had been let down onto the wall, that one that had been left outside the city for dead, that one that was in perils of countrymen, perils among false brethren. What did he have to say? Here's what he said. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which, what's the next word? Strengtheneth me. Paul realized there's going to be some places in life, just like Elijah, I've come to the end of the way, and I can't. But he can. God wants to strengthen us. He wants us to know that the task at hand is too big for you and too big for me. When do we need to hear the still small voice of God? After a great victory. When the enemy's after us. When we feel alone, hopeless. When we're exhausted. When the task at hand is too big for us. Number six, when we're failing to see clearly, we need to hear the still small voice of God. Amen. You say, preacher, what was it that Elijah was not seeing? Look at verse number 10 with me, please. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You say, preacher, that's what Elijah said. That's true. But that was only on what Elijah could see. If you drop down with me, please, to verse number 18. God told Elijah, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Elijah felt like he was all alone. Elijah was not seeing clearly because God said, Elijah, you're not by yourself. You know what I appreciate? I appreciate about conferences and the young people going to a conference. I think one of the greatest things that could be accomplished in that is for them to know they're not by themselves. They're not the only ones in the world that want to serve God. But God's got a remnant here and a remnant there and a remnant here and a remnant there. And they come together, thousands of them, to worship God, surrender to God, serve God. When we fail to see clearly, I want to say this. I know this for a fact, not because I'm judging any man of God, but because they have told me with their own mouth. There have been men that resigned churches because they weren't seeing clearly. Help me. How many knows what I'm talking about? You say, preacher, you believe that the man of God could get in such a distraught situation that he would get out of the will of God? Yes, I do. This is God's man right here. Elijah's not a wimp. He's God's man. But he's not seeing clearly. He said, I'm in this thing all by myself. God said, no, you're not. I've got 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal. Brother Brian, when he teaches Sunday school, he reminds us often, we're not in this thing by ourselves. God's got churches like this all over the land, amen, that still believe the Bible is the Word of God, that still believe that God, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son, and that He's coming back to take us home. What a blessing. When we fail to see clearly, we need to hear His voice. I mentioned this a while ago in my opening, so I won't spend a lot of time on this, but in verse number 11 and verse number 12, this is the next thing I want to say when we need to hear God's voice is when there's distractions on every hand. Listen to me carefully. Some have not heard God's voice. I'm talking about in church services because they was passing a note. Or because they was looking at something on their phone. You say, preacher, what's the matter with them people? Nothing. Ain't nothing wrong with them. They're just distracted. The devil wants to distract. Some of you right now are thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon. or what you're going to do in the morning. I believe the Bible was right when it said, listen, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. In other words, we're supposed to be here right now. Our minds are supposed to be here right now. Our minds are supposed to be focused on God right now. We're supposed to be listening. What is He going to say to my heart right now? And yet, the enemy knows if I can just get them distracted. You ever want to get real good and distracted? Just determine you're going to read this. Somebody help me. Determine you're going to talk to God for 15 minutes and see what happens. We're not ignorant of His devices. And yet we fall to His devices so many times in our lives. You say, preacher, where did you see distractions? Well, I don't know about you, but if I was standing there in that cave, and as I studied, some believe it's the same cave that Moses stood in when God passed by. And God allowed Moses, covered his face, and allowed Moses to see his hinder parts. He said, preacher, why did he do that? Because he didn't want Moses to die. That's what would have happened, amen, if Moses could have seen God in all of his glory in the flesh. He would have died right there. You say, preacher, what was going on? Well, the Bible said that the wind was blowing so hard that it was splitting rocks, splitting mountains. I don't know about you, but if I was Elijah, I'd say, I ain't never seen wind like this. I've seen wind. But to me, it's a big deal when the wind blows over a big tree. But if the wind splits that mountain in front of my house, I guarantee you I'm going to be watching and I'm not going to be thinking about much else. Amen. And then there was an earthquake. By the way, I just want to stop and say this. I believe we live in the best place in the whole world. I love it in East Tennessee. I mean, good night. If I had to worry about water being that deep in my living room every 6 months, I believe I'd move. I'm not fussing, amen, but if I had to board my windows up and not know whether I was going to have a house to go back to, I'd just send out an invitation in case somebody's living on the internet. Come to East Tennessee. We love it here. But there's distractions. There's the wind. There's the earthquake. And if that ain't enough, there's a fire. And the Bible said, the Bible was clear. Let me just say this morning. I believe there's a whole lot, even in churches, going on today. One preacher said it like this years ago. His name was Stennett Ballew. Stennett's in heaven today. Brother Stennett said, I'm afraid we're mistaking action for unction. But the question is this. Who's hearing the still small voice of God? Where are the missionaries, Brother Mike? I tell you where they are. They're everywhere. They're just not sitting still long enough to hear the still small voice of God. Where are the pastors that's coming on, amen, and God's preparing? They're everywhere. They're just not hearing. Where are those in that local assembly that says, here am I, Lord, send me? How many believe God would be sending more if more were listening? If we could hear Jesus say, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Those are the words of Christ. Distractions on every hand. When do we need to hear the importance of the still small voice of God? Look with me at verse number 15 and verse number 16. I went back a while ago when I hugged Trent. Trent just graduated from the children's church and came over here. I love that young man. Brother John, what you said this morning in Sunday school is spot on. You know where we're at, Brother John. You was talking about them church, that church back yonder. I tell you, that little boy went down there and that little boy got saved. And 99% of the people stand back, their arms crossed, and say, well, we'll see if he really got saved. Am I right or am I wrong? When we ought to be taking them under our wing. Saying, can I help you? I'm getting to something here. Look at verse number 15 and verse number 16. The importance of hearing the still small voice of God. And the Lord said, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, you read it, Abel, Meholah, okay? Shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room or in thy place? In other words, Elijah, I'm fixing to call you out, son. You say, preacher, what's the importance of hearing the still small voice of God? Do you understand that if Elijah dies under the juniper tree, then Elisha is not anointed. Jehu is not anointed. Hazael is not anointed. The next generation suffers because one man failed to hear the still, small voice of God. He said, preacher, it can't be that important. We would do just like the Apostle Paul. We would tremble this morning if we knew how important it is. Mama and Papa, Mom and Dad, if we knew how important it was for us to be faithful to God and hear His voice. This doesn't go with this message per se. But God has blessed me. Years ago, I pastored my first church. I'd been there 5.5 years. And I really just, I felt impressed of the Lord. That, Lord, I've taken them as far as I can take them. Somebody else is going to have to take them on. I sought counsel from 4 different men. Good men, godly men, older men. I've always had a respect for older men. Men of God. Now I'm turning into one. I'm not there yet, Brother Larry. Brother Larry can't wait for me to be 60. He's going to send me a note that says OTD. Older than dirt. Amen. All of those men said the same thing. Preacher, God's called you to preach. He's given you a family. You're responsible for your family. I wouldn't go anywhere till God opens a door. I thought that's pretty good advice. But one day, I really can't say I was minding my own business, because when you're in this, you're minding His business. And I was reading down through the book of Hebrews. God said, Abraham obeyed God, not knowing whither he went. Yeah. Brother Grizzle, God smote my heart. I knew I could stay, but I'd be disobedient to God. You say, preacher, what'd you do? Miss Eve, you'd have to remind me. I don't know if that was Tuesday or Wednesday. Where are you at? Back there she is. Pray for my wife. She don't usually backslide that far in just one service. She's back there so she can get up and walk around if she needs to. But my wife will tell you, when God showed me, I spoke to her. And that Wednesday night, I believe it was either Tuesday or Wednesday, I know that on that Wednesday night, I told the church that my work was finished. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? If all I heard was the voice of men, I would have missed the voice of God. Listen to me carefully. I'm not singling anybody out, but I believe there are families that get absolutely out of the will of God, because instead of hearing the voice of God, all they see is dollar signs. I'm going to brag. I fussed at Sister Shelby a while ago. Didn't fuss at her. I just make it poking fun with her. But I'm going to brag on her now. She had a choice of Tuesday or Wednesday to have her surgery done. And here's what she asked the doctor. If I have it done on Wednesday, can I still go to prayer meeting? You think about that for just a minute. Doctor said, I doubt it. She said, then we'll do it on Tuesday. I like it. I said, I like it. How many people even consider the house of God when they're making decisions about jobs or decisions about life? Are my children going to have a good Sunday school teacher, Brother Preston? Are they going to have a pastor that loves them? Is there going to be a church there that's still in the old time way? And many times, that's way on down on the totem pole in making the decisions of life. It's important that we hear His voice, because others are awaiting their anointing. Number 9, if you look in verse number 17, it shall come to pass that him that escapeth, the Bible said, the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Everybody listen to me carefully. The victory depends on it. God said, Elijah, I'm going to give you victory. He said right here, if there's some that escape Hazael, Jehu will take care of them. If for some that escapes Jehu, Elisha will take care of them. There's going to be a great victory because one man was able to hear the still, small voice of God. I sent Brother Brian a text a while ago and told him I missed him. And I told him that I fear that we're hearing pastor and we're hearing teachers and that we're not hearing God. It's a sobering thought, is it not? I hope the next time that you're distracted, you'll say, now listen, devil. Now listen, flesh. Now listen, world. I've got some business to take care of right here. It's more important than my flesh. It's more important than you, old devil. More important than anything in this world. Get behind me. Get behind me. And then in verse 19 through verse number 21, so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. By the way, let me just say this. You could preach a whole message right here. I don't want to do that, but let me just say this. When God's looking for a man, he's looking for somebody that's already got his hand to the plow. He's not looking for a lazy man. Let me say that again. He's not looking for a lazy man. He's looking for somebody that don't mind to roll up their sleeves. One time I remember I was in a pastor's conference. I took taken my first church. I go back again to that. I painted the parsonage. I built shutters and painted them and put them on the parsonage. I built a deck on the end of the parsonage. My brother and I painted the roof on the church. It was an old metal shingle roof. We made that thing, that aluminum paint. Done work, 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 work all around the church. Work. Ran into this guy. He said, you ain't got no business working like that around the church. Well, he said, he was a preacher, pastor. I said, really? He said, I might. That's what he said. He said, I might. I don't know for sure. He said, I might mow a streak between the church and the parsonage. if somebody else wouldn't mow it. He said, I might. He turned to another pastor, and here's what he said. He said, tell him, brother. Me, young man. He said, tell him. He said, I'm afraid I can't tell him, brother. He said, I've never asked my men to do anything I wouldn't do. And then he said this, and it even pertained to me, except give blood. I was one of them, Brother Sam, amen. I can give blood, but I'll go out. I don't like going out, so I don't give blood, amen. Somebody else give 2 pints for me, amen. I'll give blood, but I'll go out on you. I believe that when our successor depends on it, we need to hear the still small voice of God. He found Elisha, he was plowing 12 yoke of oxen, and when with the 12th Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. You know, one of the greatest things that could happen at Bible Way Baptist Church, if God would raise up a man, that man may be sitting here, that when Brother Vinoy lays down, he'd take that mantle and stand up and preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God said he left his oxen, he ran after Elijah, and he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people. They did eat. Then he arose and he went after Elijah and he ministered unto him. Y'all know the rest of the story. You know how that Elijah was caught up in a chariot, a fiery chariot. Preacher was preaching in a big way one time and he got mixed up. He said Elijah was caught up in a cherry chariot. But I believe it was a fiery chariot. Brother Gary Joe, he throwed that mantle down. The first thing Elisha did, he picked it up and he smote the water. Y'all remember that? God parted the water. And the younger man of God knew that the older man of God had heard from God and that God was going to use him because he was willing to pick up that mantle. This morning, the girls are going to come back and sing. I want to ask you a question. Come on, youngins, you can be getting ready. Is it well with your soul? Is there something this morning in your life that if you were to hear the still small voice of God, he'd say it needs to go? You're spending too much time here. Would you give me some of that time? Is there someone this morning that would hear the still small voice of God as he said, come to me. I'll give you rest. Could you hear Jesus say, Father, forgive? Could you hear Jesus say, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out? Let's bow for prayer. Father, this morning I pray you'd take the service now. Help us to understand the importance of hearing the still small voice of God. Lord, my mind goes back to sitting out here on the parking lot in that old Crown Victoria. Lord, you sure did get awful big in that car that night. Lord, I thank you that you have a way of directing our hearts. Speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be still, to know that you're God. Lord, you may speak to someone's heart about their giving. You may speak to someone's heart about their faithfulness. may speak to someone's heart about their sin. You may speak to someone's heart about salvation. Lord, I think some people are looking for an earthquake. They're looking, Lord, for a fire. They're looking for that mighty rushing wind. When all alone, Lord, you may be trying to break through in their spirit, in that still small voice. Lord, you know who is. You know who ain't. You know who's serving you this morning, Lord. You know who's surrendered. And you know who's not. You know, Father, those that have idols in their life that's keeping them from being all that you want them to be. God, how I pray, some way, somehow, we could hear your voice. Lord, I know people right now, some in the hospital, some not in the hospital, but Lord, very tired, exhausted. I pray, God, some way they'd hear your voice this day. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, they're going to sing.